Thank you for joining me on Bridges today. I'm Monica Schmelter, and I always look forward to when we can study God's Word together. Today, we're going to be in John chapter 15, and we're going to look at five reasons or ways that being chosen can change your life. And I'm going to start out reading there in John 15 in the first verse, and I'll read out of the New Living Translation. And it says there, and this is Jesus speaking, "I am the true grapevine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will bear even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." So truth number one for today is you are chosen for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many times when we talk about the word chosen, we think about being selected for something or being picked. And one of the first things that comes to my mind is when I was in elementary school and, you know, you would be in phys ed class and the gym teacher would kind of line you up and you would be picked to be on a basketball team, or we played dodgeball in my elementary school. And I was always one of the last people picked, and my prayer was just, don't let me be last. I just wasn't very athletic, so nobody wanted me on their team. And so being chosen for some people can have a positive connotation, and for others can make you more fearful. But to understand that you are chosen for a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is a high honor and it is a blessing. Many times we say, well, I found God, and then we tell our faith story. And while it feels like we found God, Scripture says that we don't find God, that he finds us. And that he finds us in a barren and in a desolate place, because the truth of God's word is that he has been in different ways in all of our lives, seeking for us and searching for us and working in our lives to help bring us to a place of faith in Christ. And this relationship that we've been chosen for is not one that's based on rules and regulations. It's not one that's legalistic. It's a relationship with the creator of the universe that's based in truth and based in love. And one of the things that this John chapter 15 helps us to see, I think in a deeper and in a greater way, is that relationships take time. Like, they just don't happen overnight. Relationships are cultivated. They don't just happen. And so we're given this picture of a gardener and grapevine and branches really working together, working in perfect unity and perfect synergy to produce fruit. So one of the things we need to understand is we're chosen for a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we are not alone trying to figure this relationship out, or not alone in trying to earn God's favor or earn his approval. The scripture makes us clear, as Jesus talks about, he's the true grapevine and his Father is the gardener. It talks about pruning, and pruning not with the intention of hurting, not with the intention of taking away, but the intention of helping us bear more fruit. And so many times when we talk about bearing fruit or doing things for us, because we live on, you know, fallen planet Earth, we think, well, that's just more that I have to do. I have to do more. That the fruitfulness that this is talking about is our maturity. It's our character. It's all of those things. It's not just more things to do, like building a building or learning how to play an instrument or learning how to do more in less time. It's not that. It's about who we are on the inside. It's our maturation. It's our character. God is very concerned with those things. He's working in us to do his will and his good pleasure so that we become more Christ-like. And we're not in that venture alone. We're not just trying to figure out how to be more like Christ or how to do more in less time. He works in us to cut away what doesn't need to be there, to prune us so that we can become more Christ-like. It's all with our good in mind, based on the Word of God. And it goes on in verse 5 and says, "Yes, I am the vine," speaking of Jesus, "and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned." But listen to this scripture in verse 7. "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." So truth number 2 is you are chosen for good. So the first truth from John chapter 15 is that we're chosen for a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then truth two, you are chosen for good. So there's no stress, no pressure, waiting to be picked, waiting to be good enough. You've already been chosen. No striving to earn God's approval. God chose us, and he chose us for good. And the thing that he's made it contingent on is if we remain in him and his words remain in us.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Now, if you think about it, most of us, we're looking for some kind of a formula or something that we can do. And yet when God talks about us being chosen for good, he says, if you remain in me. In other words, if we stay connected, if we are close, if we are dependent on him. And we, because we're human beings and we live in fallen planet Earth, we want to make it out to be what we need to do and what formula, how it is that we need to do this so that we can bear more fruit. And God is saying, remain in me. Just stay connected. Let his word remain in us. His word remaining in us is about studying his word, reading his word, thinking about his word. And you may be like, yeah, but I have to work a full-time job. You know, most people do work full-time jobs. He's not saying that we have to quit those full-time jobs and just sit at home and read the Bible all day. Most people can't do that. I mean, if most people did that, right, there wouldn't be dinner on the table on a consistent basis. So working is not a bad thing. It's just prioritizing his word, making time to read his word or to listen to his word, finding ways practically throughout our day, throughout our weeks, that we can remain in him, that we can stay connected, that we can stay dependent on him. The word makes it clear that if we try to do this on our own, we will not bear fruit. When I come to the place in my life that everything or a lot of things are frustrating me, that I feel far from God or things like that, usually I can connect that back to that I haven't prioritized time in his word or praying, that somehow I've become disconnected because I'm too busy with other things, even if those other things are important. In verse 9, he goes on to say, "I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Listen to this in verse 12. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything that the Father told me. Think about what those passages of Scripture are telling us. It's talking about, it's connecting love to obedience to God's Word, and that in doing those things, we will be filled with His joy. Truth number three today is you are chosen to be a friend of God. Just think about that for a moment. Reflect on that. That any one of us, out of our faith in Christ, can be called a friend of God. He says, look, I don't call you slaves anymore. He says, a master doesn't tell the slaves private business. He said, but I've told you everything that the Father has told me. In other words, Jesus is saying here, I have held nothing back from you. Everything the Father told me, I've told you. And he says that the way that we can have his joy is to remain in his word, for his words to remain in us. And the commandment that he gives us is to love one another as he has loved us. So he doesn't say that we have to work up the courage to do that. He doesn't say we have to figure out how to do that. He, in fact, what he says is the way to do that is to remain. In other words, to stay connected, to stay close. And again, so many times as people, we want to figure out, well, how can I do that? Well, you say, I try to love people, but they're hard to love. Well, yeah, people are hard to love if we're trying to do it in our own strength. Because in our own strength, we can love people pretty much like when we're in agreement on something, or if they're giving us something that we want, we can call that love, and there's all that that's happening. And, oh, I love so-and-so, they're my best friend, or I love this guy, blah, blah, blah. But it's not the kind of love that the Father gives. The Father loves us unconditionally. The Father loved us before we ever thought about loving him. And he tells us to love one another as the Father has loved us. And we can't love one another the way the Father has loved us without depending on the Father. If we try to do that in our own strength, we will be discouraged and frustrated, mad, probably all of that every single time. And again, as people, we're looking for a formula. We're looking for a way. We're looking, well, how do I do that? And you're like, well, remain, stay connected. Well, how do I do that? That's by making his word a priority, by valuing what God values, by making a decision out of our free will that I'm no longer going to live the way that Monica Schmelter wants to live, but that I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to surrender it to the Father, and however he loves is how I will love. That's to be long-suffering, to be patient, to be forgiving, to be gentle, to be pure in heart. This world, right, tells us that, you know, we have to really let people know this is the way it is. We have to da, 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 da. And it's not that way with God at all. And in this world, we have to figure out how to solve our own problems. And his word tells us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. So everything here out of John chapter 15 is exactly the opposite of the way that our human nature would want to do things. And so we're talking today about five ways that being chosen can change your life. So when you understand that being chosen, that we're chosen for good, we're chosen for a relationship with Christ, that we're chosen to be a friend of God, when we look at ourselves as a friend of God instead of a friend of the world, that changes everything. And then Jesus goes on, and this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. He says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other." Think about that for just a moment, if you would, please. Again, we didn't choose him. He chose us. And he chose us for good. His word says there in that passage of Scripture, his word says, "I chose you and I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." Depending on your translation, it might say to produce fruit and fruit that will remain. In other words, to produce that which is good, that which is holy, that which is from God, and that won't be snatched away. It won't be taken away by the storms of life, the trials of life, by any of that. We have been chosen for good. We have been chosen to be a friend of God. His word makes it clear that he did the choosing and he did the deciding. So we don't have to try to resent ourselves to God as being fit enough and, oh, that if we beg God, he's going to help us to do good things. He's going to help us to bear fruit. He said, no, he already appointed that. So if you can get that settled right now in your heart and mind that you no longer have to try to earn his approval. You don't have to try to convince him that you're good enough or that you're worthy enough to do something good. He's like, I've already appointed you to do that. That's what I chose you for. That takes striving and struggling off the table. And what it leaves us with is his word, which tells us to remain, which tells us to stay connected, which tells us that the master gardener is going to do the pruning, that Jesus and his Father are working in us and through us so that the branches can bear fruit and bear fruit that remains. There's a verse in the book of James, and we will have this for you in the online extras. You can go to monicaschmelter.com. You can watch this teaching again, and you can also download the online extras, and it will have parallel verses and verses from other chapters of the Bible that echo what we're studying today in John chapter 15. And this verse in the book of James 1 and verse 18 talks about how he chose to give birth to us by giving us his word, and that out of all of creation, we people became his prized possession. Just consider that for just a moment. So many times we come to God and we, not understanding his word, not accepting his word as a truth, will say that we're not worthy. We'll hang on to our past, to things that people have said to us. Like, I don't understand how God could love me. And you know, in the natural realm, it doesn't make sense, but he says that he loves us. And out of all creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, all of the beautiful creation, he chose to give us birth by his word. And out of all of creation, we're his prized possession. That, like, you're God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. He's chosen us and chosen to bestow his favor on us. And even if we say, well, that's for reasons I don't understand, just soak that in. All of that striving, all of that struggling with being unworthy, with remembering our past or even what we did earlier today or how we messed up or how we're going to mess up, we can let all of that go and replace it with the truth of his word. And then he says in verse 18, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer a part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than his master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And he goes on in the next couple of scriptures talking about how people rejected him, how people didn't want him, and that they will do that to us because we are his followers. Truth number four for today is you are chosen and separated out of this world. This passage of scripture that I just read says, I chose you and I chose you to become separate from this world. Now, some people kind of misunderstand what that means. It doesn't mean that he separated us from this world and that we won't have problems and that we won't have trials. Clearly, we know he's talking about that we may be hated because the world hates him. We may be persecuted. So that lets us know right there is suffering in a Christian's life. Some people take it to mean that they're not to have anything to do with people that don't know Christ. Okay, but that can't possibly be true because we're also chosen to be his witnesses. I can remember when I was in high school, I went to private school for just 1 year, and there was one family in that private school, and they really believed that a believer in Christ was not to talk to people that didn't know Christ other than to witness to them. So I don't know how you ever got to that point, but basically they had no dealings with non-Christian people whatsoever. And I think, you know, for most Christians, my inner circle, my closest friends, are all born-again believers. But I have many acquaintances and many people that are friends of mine and that I love very much who have not come to faith yet in Christ. We're called to be separate from this world in terms of our worship to God, our obedience to God, and our love to God, that we're not to do worldly things, we're not to sin. But we are certainly to love everybody because we're all made in the image of God. And as we form relationships with people and as we get to know them, we can offer them Christ. We can be his witness. So I don't think as I read scripture that anywhere does it say that we're to have no dealings with people that don't know Christ at all. I mean, if that was true, I don't know how I would have ever come to Christ. And perhaps in your own life, unless you were born in a Christian family, it's like that for you too. So we are chosen and we're separated out of this world to live a separate life that pleases God and that honors God. And I'm going to have you skip with me just a few verses here from like 23 to 25. And then in 26, Jesus picks up and he says, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father, and he will testify about me. And you must testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. So truth number five, and one of the ways that being chosen can change your life is to realize truth number five, you are chosen to be his witness. Jesus is making it clear as he's talking with his followers that he is going to ascend to the Father, and he's preparing them. He's saying, I'm not going to leave you here alone as orphans. I am going to send you the Holy Spirit. He is your advocate. He is the comforter. He will bring to you what you need in the moment that you need. There's even a scripture that talks about in the moment that we need, the Holy Spirit will bring us the word that we need. Realize that that scripture means we first had to invest by putting that word, by memorizing that word, listening to it and putting it to our heart. And then when we're in those moments that the pressure's on, or maybe we're sharing Christ with someone, he will give us that exact scripture in the moment that we need it. We are chosen to be his witnesses on this earth. And when we realize that part of our mission, whatever our gifts and talents are, however we use that, be that being an accountant or a plumber or a car mechanic, whatever we do for our job or our vocation, we're all called to be his witnesses. And as his witnesses, depending on our vocation or job, we get to interact with people that we might not ever get to interact or meet with. Look at your vocation or your job as an assignment from God where you get to be his witness. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean that whatever job you're doing in the marketplace, that you don't do the job, that you just read the Bible all day and witness to people. That's not going to go very well for you at all. I think as believers in Christ, we're called to do our job as though it's unto God, not just as a man pleaser when the boss is looking, but the Bible says even when no one's looking. So we're to be hard at work in whatever vocation that he's placed us. But as we work hard and as we love people as the Father has loved us, he will open up times off the clock where we can share Christ, where maybe someone will come to us and say, "Would you pray for me about this or that?" He will give us favor with people. People will come to us when we live a life that's upright before God. And when we understand truth number five today, you are chosen to be his witness. And that witness might be to people in your family. It might be on your job. It might be when you take a bus to go somewhere, or you're on a plane. Look at all of your activities as potential divine assignments where you may get the opportunity to share Christ. You know, as we realize that instead of being people who maybe were last in line picked for X number of things in school, or maybe even on the job that we feel like we're invisible or we've been passed over, or all of the things that we can go through as people, to understand that the creator of this universe chose us, and he chose us for good. He chose us to bear fruit that will remain. He chose us for a relationship, not to be just a slave, but to be a friend of God. The high honor that he would even call us friends, that he shared everything with us and held nothing back. So today, I hope that you will hold on to today's truth, and that is, you are chosen as God's treasure and his most prized possession. You may feel like you don't matter to a lot of people. We all have probably been in that place, but to understand today's truth, we've been chosen as God's treasure and his most prized possession. We will have today's notes up at monicaschmelter.com. I'm out of time, but I say goodbye and God bless you.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.